If you're a woman seeking a safe space to hear genuine conversations about faith, family, mental health, and life as a modern-day woman, then girl, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Desiree Ofori Podcast. Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of the Desiree Ofori Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. As you saw by the title, we have another special guest. Her name is Maxine Reyes, and I am so excited to have her on here. We're going to be talking about marriage. It's been a hot minute since we've talked about marriage on the podcast, and I believe marriage is very sacred. It's very personal. It's a lot of parts are very relatable, but you don't just want to have anybody come up and talk about marriage. At least I don't. I want to make sure that whoever is on here, they're talking the talk, but also walking the walk. And I can tell you, Maxine and her husband, Ken, are definitely doing that. So Maxine, thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate you doing this for me.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to doing this with you.
Yes, Maxine and I have been friends for probably like 3 years now. We met with off of Instagram through a mutual collaboration with blogger moms, and it's just developed into more than just blogging. I don't think any of us really blogged.
That much about it.
as hard as we did before.
Yeah,
but we shout out to all the ladies. I'm not gonna name names, so I don't want to forget any names, but it's been a beautiful group to nurture, and you know, each one of us have our own personal relationships with each other, and I've just enjoyed getting to know Maxine and just her mission and her heart for marriage and relationships and just for people in general. So I'm gonna go ahead and read Maxine's bio, and then we'll get right into the episode. So Ken and Maxine Reyes are coaches and sought after dynamic event hosts, podcast hosts, and speakers. They are both retired U.S. Army officers with extensive experience as sergeants in the U.S. Air Force. They have been married for 25 years and have one daughter, Victoria. They both deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan and other areas, and have experienced periods of separation that exceeds 15 months at times. Despite this, they thrive through it all and have become in-demand speakers on marriage and leadership. Together, they have been helping couples flourish in their premarital life, marriage, and careers. Their premarital coaching program, Relationship Resilience, focuses on creating relationship durability, financial discipline, strengthening marriages with special focus on military marriages, and excelling in careers. Ken and Maxine have been hosting marriage retreats, happily joint, and other couples events since 2012. They have recently added Fit for the Role life skills training for young adults and those getting back on the dating scene as a part of their proven relationship strategy. Maxine is also a love and inspirational singer whose music is available on most digital platforms. You can also reach out to Maxine via www.happilyjoint.com for your coaching needs. And shout out to Maxine, shameless plug, she just released a new single. Tell the people about the single. It's good, y'all. It's good, good, good. It's called If You Want Good.
Yes, if you want good, you definitely have to do the work.
So if you're into, a side note, Maxine is also Jamaican, which is near and dear to my heart because my dad is Jamaican, so she's my fellow sistren. And you know, the song If You Want Good, it has a reggae beat to it. So if you love reggae, if you love, you know, island beats and island rhythms, it's sweet. The rhythm's sweet, man. The rhythm's sweet.
Thank you. It makes you want to move.
Yeah. So make sure you go download it. Look for it on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and all the like. I will have all the information in the description. But again, thank you so much, Maxine, for being here.
Thanks for that plug. I appreciate it.
Is there anything that you would like to add to your bio for people to get to know you a little bit better before we get into it?
I'm a dedicated mom, and we weren't ready to talk about my husband. You know, we both served, but my daughter is like, she is the central core of many things that I do, because I want to set the right example for her and just leave that legacy. But I want her to be with me in the process, so she knows a lot of the things that my husband and I are doing. And she, as far as our career goals and financials and all that stuff. So if folks who are listening, that you're here to listen to, what we have to say about marriages, but parenting is another thing that I take great pride in.
Yes, and you do an amazing job. Your daughter is amazing. She's learning Japanese. She's an artist. She sings. You're trying to bring her out of that shy bubble.
Yeah,
she's a Jane of all trades and will be master of all. So we carry that over her life.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. So Maxine, how did you and Ken meet?
So we met in the Air Force. We were both in our technical school, which is right after basic training. But before I saw him in technical school, I actually glimpsed him in basic training. I remember watching him, seeing him around when we were marching, but we couldn't really talk because we weren't allowed to associate with the boys. The girls weren't allowed to associate with the boys. So during that time, I remember seeing him, but then he left, right? Mm-hmm. And so because he left, I thought he was gone for good. Then I happened to join him in the same technical school, not the same career field, but the same location in Mississippi. So basic training was in Texas. We happened to meet up in Mississippi, or I ran into him in Mississippi, and I was like, wow, I can't believe it's the same guy, And so the activity that we were actually participating in was Special Olympics. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what Special Olympics is, it's a sport for persons who are with some disability. And so it's a track and field type of event. He had a little boy that he was the guardian for, and I had two girls. And so both kids, they had this very similar activities that they were participating in. When I first saw him, I went up to him and I asked, are you from Miami? Because I'm from Miami. And I just thought he may be someone from there. And it was really a great conversation starter anyway. So I decided to ask him that. And he looked at me really weird, like I was bothering him. And we joke about that right now, because whenever people ask, how did you guys meet? And he has his side of the story that he loves to share. So yeah, so it's always something, as every time people ask, we look at each other like, okay, who's gonna start? So when I saw him and asked him, if he was from Miami, he looked at me really weird. But later on, he told me that the reason why he looked at me that way is because earlier in the day, he noticed me when I took lead on a situation that one of our instructors told everyone to get out of the street, and they all still stood there. And the leader that I am, and the way I was raised, when someone tells you to do something, someone with authority, you need to get it done. And so because they didn't budge, I went ahead and said, everyone get out of the street. And with that said, when he noticed that, he was like, oh my, there goes a female who wants to take charge, and then the guys were all looking at me, and it's a new person there, so they're always mm-hmm. looking at, okay, who's this new girl or whatever. Yeah. So he told me pretty much that the reason why he was staring at me like that was like, recognizing that it was me from earlier, and how all the guys were looking at me and trying to talk to me. And he wasn't going to be that person. He's like, I was not going to give you the attention to make your head get big. So I was like, all right, no problem. And I left him alone. But every activity that our students participated in happened to be the same ones. And so I kept running into him, didn't say anything to him for the rest of the day because I didn't want to bother him. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, he actually found me because I was leaving to bring the girls back to the dorm so they can catch their bus. And he said, he came up to me and said he had his little boy look for me. So because he didn't want to lose me, he wanted to make sure he kept in touch with me. Then this whole time I'm thinking, okay, I guess I won't be introducing myself to him again, or having conversation with him while he was secretly trying to catch up with me. So that's the story. As I said, anytime our friends see us, they're always not our friends, but persons who are new in finding out where how we met. That's always a conversation piece for us. But yeah, that's how we met in the Air Force. And, you know, it's always a neat thing to talk about because of our similarities in how we take philanthropy or philanthropy efforts, you know, personal, because it's something that we love to do. We love to give back to the community, but it's just ironic how we started off that way.
Yeah. So as you, did you guys exchange numbers at any point, or like how did you end up becoming, you know, a couple?
Yeah, we exchanged numbers, but here's the thing: we didn't have cell phones. This was 1996, right?
Oh,
I know I look like I'm 16, but this was a while ago. This was 1996, and we had pay phones in the dormitories, so in the common areas.
Oh,
yes. So we use, and here's the thing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture and send it to you so you can actually share it, because I have the phone number, the little piece of yellow paper, lined paper that I wrote my number on. He kept it.
You still have it?
I still have. He still has it. He framed it.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Wow. How romantic, right?
Oh,
and that's the difference between us. He's the romantic in the relationship. Yeah, but yeah, I still have that. He still has it. It's framed in our bedroom. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
But that, you know, that is true. There's always one. It's rarely ever like both couples are very, you know, lovey-dovey or romantic, or both are, you know, standoffish or like, oh, don't touch me.
Yeah,
it's like always like one that's very like clingy, not clingy, but you know, affectionate and you know, PD and everything. And then the other one is like, no, I'm okay. I love you, but like, I don't need all that.
right. And so, yeah, I'm that one. I love you, but yeah. Yeah. So we actually have a really good balance when it comes to that.
Awesome. So speaking about like how he saw you, you know, your leadership role, and I guess, you know, it paid off in one way or the other, because he wasn't turned off by you. He's probably more intrigued by you.
And yes.
You're definitely still that person today. You're still very like driven and like leadership oriented. What were some qualities that, you know, he had that you were attracted to that you think may have continued on in your relationship to help, you know, you guys to last this long? 25 years, that's no easy feat.
That's true. And actually this year will be 26 years of marriage in 3 months.
Wow.
So we've been at it for a little bit. The first thing I can say, he was respectful and he continues to be that way. Another thing that attracted me to him, he's just a handsome man. I was like, you know, my type. So initially you got to look at that person and say, you know, what's beneath all of that, you know, because he's good looking, but what does he have to bring to the table? And I can definitely say there was something mysterious about him, which attracted me to him. So respectful, mysterious, and handsome. I'm going to leave it at those three. but you said that has helped within my marriage, right? Because those are the qualities. Okay, so those are the qualities that attracted me to him. What has helped us within our marriage is, I would say, the fact that he feels that it's his duty to care for me and our daughter, to take responsibility. Like, we worked together. We made the same income, but he never drew away from or distanced himself away from the responsibility of taking care of his wife, like the financial responsibility, knowing that we made the same, you know, the same money. Mm-hmm. But he was like, you know, God gave me this responsibility to care for my family. So I'm going to take that on. That's like, I take great pride in that. And he'll tell you that until today, that it's his responsibility to, you know, to pay for the, he's very traditional when it comes to that stuff, to pay the bills, make sure that we're, you know, a shelter, the necessities. And that's one thing I definitely respect about him because he, that's his thing. You know, he's taking the charge. The other thing is our commitment, his commitment to our marriage, you know, that still helps us until this day, because every marriage has its challenges. But when you go back to what word did you give to me about how we're going to proceed within our marriage? What word did you give to God? And he always go back to, you know what, Max? I made the vows to you, but I made it to God first, that I would take care of you. I would be there for you. I'm committed. I'm dedicated to Maxine Reyes, to our marriage. And this is all through our faith and through his commitment to God. So the fact that he can always go back to that foundation, that has helped us to move forward with any challenges that we've ever had in our marriage.
Got it. And did he, when you guys first met, did he already have a strong relationship with God?
Yes, he did. From me, from I was a kid. He grew up Catholic, and later on in his years, when he became a teenager, he was exposed to traditional Christianity through a Baptist church, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So he had a friend, and he shared that story with me. He had a friend who was, he introduced him to go to church with him. And he actually went and converted from then, since he was a teen.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, he's been like that. He's the man that will, you know, grab me, hold my hand and pray with me. And, you know, and I was very impressed with that, because that's something I desired in a husband. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So he was just winning all through after denying me when I first met him. It was all hidden there. That was the mystery about him. Yeah.
I love that. And that's something like for singles to think about too, when they are, you know, pursuing somebody or considering somebody to, you know, move on into a relationship that could end in marriage, or not end, but continue in marriage, is like the characteristics of that person beyond the surface. Like characteristics that matter, not just, oh, they're, you know, they're nice, they're kind, but like, how do they treat other people? How do they treat you? Are they consistent across the board? Or are they one way with you and then one way with, you know, other people? I think that's important to think about or consider, because usually those personalities, those characteristics, they're deep seated.
Yes.
And they're going to last with you for a long time. So if it's something that might be annoying you now, like it may annoy you.
Continue to annoy you. Yeah, it may get worse.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you would have hopes for it to get better, but you just never know. So error on the thought of, you know, this might just be who they are. Can I stick with this for the next 25, 30, 40 years? Or
yes,
get old after a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Awesome. One thing that attracted me to my husband was his servant leadership and his patience. He was just like a very patient person, and always willing to help no matter who needed it. And watching how he helped one of my friends who actually has cerebral palsy, he was like one of the main, like she was a mutual friend, but he was like, I noticed that he was like one of the main guys that was always there to help her out. There were a couple, but like he was one of the main ones, like to take her places or to help her with her wheelchair. Like he was just always hands-on with her. Mm-hmm. And she was actually the mutual friend that helped us to get together.
Oh, like, nice. Oh, I heard
a little birdie told me.
Yeah.
We always joke about that. A little birdie told me. But seeing how he like took care of her and served her as a friend, I was like, that's a very, you know, admirable quality. And he's remained that way with me, with our kids, with like serving at church, with just serving, you know, family and friends. Like that's just who he is. And he was like that from the beginning.
Right.
And the patience that he has, like he's been like that since the beginning. So I know, because I have not always been easy. all to be with. We all have our times, our days, our moments, our years. But yeah, him having that quality, I feel, has helped us to maintain through the hard times. So
yeah,
say it again. You guys, pay attention to the character.
Mm-hmm. Yes, from the very beginning.
To the character.
I don't think you're gonna change them either.
Right, exactly. Like, if you could not change them, like, would you be okay with them? The way they are.
Exactly. Exactly.
What are three things you'd say has helped you guys to maintain a healthy relationship? Because, like I said in your bio, or as it says in the bio, you guys have had periods of separation because of deployment up to and beyond 15 months. So
yes,
there's being together day in and day out, having, you know, trying to have a healthy relationship there, and then dealing with deployment and separation. I mean, I can't even.
Can you imagine
a long distance marriage? Like, how, like, what would you say would be the top three things that has helped you guys to maintain a healthy relationship throughout all of that?
So three things that we maintained even throughout the deployments. Sometimes we're apart for 15 months. Once we were apart for 5 years in a row, but we actually got to see each other during that time, but we lived in separate homes because of the military. And it's our commitment.
Hold on. 5 years?
Yes, 5 years in separate homes, including my deployment to the Middle East. So I was gone for a year to Qatar and Afghanistan. And then I came back, went to Orlando for 2 years. I was a commander there. My husband lived in Daytona Beach. That's the closest they could get us together. And we would see each other on some weekends, not every weekend. And we were parenting apart. So Victoria stayed with him while I was deployed. And then when I came home, I'm like, I want my daughter to stay with me, you know? And so I took her in Orlando. Daytona Beach is about an hour or so away, but it wasn't close enough for us to live in between because of the traffic in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So we decided that I would get a place in Orlando. He remains in the place in Daytona Beach. And then we would see each other on the weekends whenever he wasn't working, because he was teaching at a university up there. And mm-hmm. he had to get take the kids. It was military ROTC. So he had to take the kids to the field on some weekends. I wouldn't even get to see him on some of the weekends. It was crazy. And so that was the third year. And then two more years I was in Mississippi. I'm sorry, not Mississippi. It was in Texas. So we've lived all over. I get confused sometimes. But I was in Texas, and then they sent him to Kansas City. Yeah. Wow. And so by the time we got together, again, living in the same household in North Carolina, it was 5 years.
Wow.
And we still kept our relationship going. We paid out of pocket to see each other during that time. So mm-hmm. there goes going right back to the commitment. We were committed to each other. So we had to do what it took to see each other in person. Yeah. And whenever we saw each other, it was like, didn't skip a beat one bit. And people used to ask us, man, what do you guys do to keep it going? Because every time we see you guys, you know, whether it's every 4 months that you guys get to see each other in person, it's like you haven't skipped a beat. So I'm like, mm-hmm. we're committed. So that's one thing. The second thing I would say is keep that communication line open, because if you're separated for so long, you have to talk about things. You have to communicate. And the other thing is managing your expectation. And you'll hear us talk about this a lot if you ever get us both in the room, because he has a humor. He has a sense of humor. But it's expectation management is one of the things that we tell people. Know what you want from each other, communicate what you want from each other, and just make it work. During our time when he was deployed, he would go out in the field. When I say the field, he would go on mission, and sometimes I wouldn't hear from him. So I had to, we had the expectation of, hey, if he can't call me, I know it's because he is unable to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whenever he had the opportunity to get a phone, whether he rents one or use the MWR, which is the one that the military provides for you to just call home for 5 minutes or so, 5-10 mm-hmm. minutes, I knew that my husband would give me a call whenever it was available to him. Yeah. And then, and the other thing, what he expected of me was, these days, these times are when I'm going to be able to call you. So I need you to stop whatever it is that you're doing. Do not put anything on your calendar for this time period. Because if I miss you when I call you, I may not be able to call you for another 5 days, you know? So that, having that expectation. So when he calls me, he knows my wife is going to pick up. My wife is going to be there for me for the 10 minutes or the 5 minutes that they're going to give me. Mm-hmm. And once you have that, the expectation, and you commit to it and you honor it, then there should be no issues whatsoever, because you talk about it and you made it happen. So those are the three things I would say: be committed, communicate, and have expectation management. And I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with that. Of course, there are other things, but.
And I would add to, like, all of that goes under the umbrella of priority. Making each other priority. Because if you don't make each other a priority, then you're not going to be committed. Then you're not going to communicate. Then the expectation management, like, that's not going to be able to be a thing. You have to, that has to be like your, that's like the umbrella.
Yes.
You're a priority, and this is what falls under you being a priority. This is how I'm going to show you that you're a priority, by following, doing all of these other things.
Absolutely. So, I agree.
I think that's amazing. Do you think that you guys being in the military, there's structure, there's that expectation. Do you think, like, the things that you guys have picked up and learned from being in the military has helped your marriage, that you guys have just been able to transfer that into your marriage?
I would definitely say yes. Just going back to to commitment, it's really having the discipline to stick to what we said that we're gonna do. It's the same as in the military. When you say you're going to do something, you follow through with it. You're expected to do certain things. And in our relationship, the leadership that we bring in our home, whether it's, of course, my husband, going through by what the Bible says, it's for him to be the leader of the house. I contribute as well, but my husband is always going to be the head of my household. That's just the staple in our home from our faith. But me learning how to lead within a military environment, I think it's added value to what we already knew about, our household. Like in the military, we call it household six. Household six is the spouse being the person to lead, because the husband is sometimes not home and the spouse has to take charge. The military spouse has to take charge. But guess what? When my husband is home, he is always household six, whether or not he's deployed or not, he's still the head of my household. So the military skills definitely helps in really being committed, sticking to what you said you're going to do within your relationship. And it also helps us both to be, I believe, stronger parents. When we say when we tell our child, no, we're not going to do something, or she's not going to do something, we stick to it, because we don't want to be the wishy-washy parents to say, okay, yes, Victoria, you did XYZ. We're going to take your iPad away, but then we never do. Right. I feel that there's a flaw in that system, or lack of discipline. So whenever he and I said, if you do something wrong, we're going to take this luxury item away from you, we stick to it.
Yeah.
So she'll know that, hey, this is a way that she needs to discipline herself in doing her homework on time, doing the chores, because if she doesn't, she know that this is going to happen. We're going to take away what she loves, which is the iPad, because she's an artist and she draws on there. So the military has definitely helped us when it comes to that stuff.
And I would ask about you being a strong woman, because that's big right now. It's been big for a long time. I wouldn't even say it's trending. That's just been big for a long time.
That's just
a thing. There are strong women out there. And you were officer. So you're used to having people under you following, your directions, your directives. How has that been difficult for you to submit to your husband, to follow his leadership, to be under his guidance when you're used to having that role of other people submitting and following your directions? How has that been for you?
Well, that's a really good question, Desiree. It's a really good question. And, you know, once in a while, I'll fail. And my husband he has to like reel me back into, hey, Max, you're not at work. You're home. And, you know, I know you're used to, you know, telling your guys to do X, Y, Z, but I'm your husband. So get out of that mode. And you know what happens with him as well, because sometimes, you know, and it's when you're in active duty, when you're on active duty status and the stress level is so high and you come home and you're just trying to separate that, sometimes it's difficult. So it was never perfect. I come home and drop all the military hat once in a while. It'll taint into what we're doing. And then we have to just call each other out and say, hey, guy, hey, babe, this is not, you're not at work. You're home. I'm wife. Just remember that. Just remember that role. So vice versa, he has done or maybe said something where I had to put on that hat, but respectfully still recognizing that, hey, that's my husband, you know? Yeah. So, and I only bring that out or bring my leadership out when I feel that he was uninformed about something. And so he's making a decision about our family only because he didn't have additional information. But if it's information that I have, that's when I'm going to say, okay, babe, hear me out. I know you made this decision because of XYZ, but here's what I have. Here's additional information that I have. And I would ask that you reconsider your decision for our family, because I believe you would be leading us into the wrong direction or leading us on the wrong path. So that's where I come in as with a commander thought or commander mindset, but I know I'm still not in charge. My husband is in charge. So I'm just going to give him some advice because I have additional information that can help us out as a team.
And I think what I pick out of that is, and I'm probably picking through this because I'm a therapist at heart.
So. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So my therapy hat, you know, comes on here and there. But what I hear, that's the common thing that we're supposed to say. What I hear is that you guys are able to do that because you have a mutual respect for each other.
Absolutely. And for each other's leadership capabilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know we're going to do what's best for the family, you know, as a team, but we can't make proper decision to lead to not lead our family astray if we don't have enough information.
Yeah. I know it's very important for, I was going to say a lot of guys, but I know pretty much across the board, this is the way men were wired, were to have respect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women would say, well, respect is, especially in today's world, they're not traditional, respect is earned. But it goes, from what I am receiving from you guys, is that it definitely goes both ways.
Yes.
Like, he has respect for your thoughts, your perspective, and also the way that you deliver it to him. Delivery, I think, is also really, really important, because you can say the same thing that you said it in like a commander, you know, voice and authority, and he not receive it. But if you come from like a wife, I'm like, hey, but just want you to know, in case you didn't know, however you want to word it, but coming from like, I just want to help you, but not like I want to, you know, overbear you either. Like,
right. So and I'm not telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you what to do. Go ahead.
You're not telling him what to do, but here's another option, or here's some insight that you might not have.
Right. And it's for you to consider, you know, I'm not telling you, but here's something I would like for you to consider. So, you know, that I'm not telling him, I just want him to think about it so he can make a better decision or a more informed decision, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one more question within that, and then we'll move forward. When it comes to him being, you know, in leadership and having to tell you like, hey, Max, hold on now. Is that something that you guys have, and then you having to do the same thing to him, Because I know that's very common, that can be common in military families where like whoever it is that's in the military, whether it's both or one spouse, like you take that on and you're like, you're the same way at home, and that can be very detrimental to the relationship. Cause like you guys mm-hmm. don't know how to separate, not saying you guys, but like,
people right, in right, general, right. Like,
just saying, just, you know, saying, you know,
yeah,
they don't know how to separate the two and it just bleeds right in. And you're like, wait, hold on. This is home now. You know, mm-hmm. did you guys have that type of that conversation before to be like, hey, if I go out of place, you know, here's how to let me know, like, do you have like a code word or like, did you discuss that before so that when it does happen, you're not in defense mode? You're like, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, no, we did not discuss that before, but it fell into our lap when it happened. So you deal with it, you know, because there's no instructions besides, of course, we go by the Bible as much as we can or as much as we know, but life is going to throw things at you where you have to react. And then if you'll see where if you fail in that reaction or if you need to react in a different way next time. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is he and I spoke about it. Initially, I would say we probably got upset about it. And then we're like, okay, like really, dude, you think you're commander of me at home too, you know, or vice versa. You know, he may have said that about me because of the way I may have spoken to him. But the good thing about both of us as leaders, we are respectful leaders. And we respect the people who work with us on our team and for us, I would say, because they are grown adults and they're just humans trying to get through the day as we are, you know? So if you look at them as a team member and a work family, the way you speak to each other is not going to be disrespectful. Now, the ones that don't listen, that's when you have to get to that command voice, you know what I mean? But usually as a commander, I wouldn't have to do that, or he wouldn't have to do that, because that's where a first sergeant, who's the next in charge, that person is the one that usually talks to them in that way, right? Because I would never get to see that. Now, if that soldier come into my office and then, you know, speaks to me in a certain way, of course he's gonna know who's speaking to. Yeah, you know, but yeah, but he and I, we're very, I would say, considerate leaders, and we give each other respect, but we also give our soldiers a mutual respect as well, because we want them to know it's okay to speak to us, bring your issues to us. We're humans just like you, you know, we're just in this position because we were placed in it, but we want to make sure it's like the best and most healthiest and not toxic situation,
right?
You know,
yeah, right.
And that's why we try to bring that home, the non-toxic way of communicating with each other. But initially, when we first, you know, when the journey first started, it was not like that at all. And growing up in my culture or in my household, we never really spoke about anything. If you had any issues, you deal with it on your own. You don't really bring it up, you know. But in my husband has taught me a lot about communication, because he's like, babe, we have to talk about it. And I'm going to share this with you. He will not go to sleep if he knows that I am upset with him.
Mm.
He wants us to have that dialogue so he can have a restful night. And I will not have a restful night if he doesn't get to talk to me about something, so he'll know that I am no longer upset at him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it used to bother me at first, but when you get to know your spouse, you know what makes it, you know, what makes them jive in a good mood and all that. So I realized that, hey, Maxine, I know you're stubborn, and you're going to need to talk to him before you go to sleep, because you will not have peace. He will wake you up to talk about it. And this was years ago, you know, so I realized that if there's something that needs to be resolved, it needs to be resolved before we go to bed. And that's something my grandmother always told me anyways. She always said, do not go to bed upset. And my husband always reminds me, you remember what your grandmother said? So he uses that, and so we can have a conversation before we go to bed. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you need some time to think you know, process what you're upset about before you can have a conversation about it? Or like, do you say, hey, I just need another day or a few more hours before, can we talk about this in the morning? Does that ever happen?
Or you deal with
it right away?
It's happened, but the thing is, as more mature and with more experience, I can definitely say that I wait, or have a dialogue with him and said, hey, can we talk about this? Like, give me 10 minutes. And the reason why we need more time is because you don't want to say something that is going to be hurtful to your spouse. You know, so the longer you're together and the more you go through these conversations or these dialogues, you know that if you need time, you just say it, because if not, you're going to say something that's hurtful and you may regret later.
Yeah. In the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it happens. It's just life, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And you even just get some time to pray about it, because I get over things. Mm. I get over things real fast. I'm very forgiving. And I do my best not to hold grudges, because if I'm going to move forward in a relationship with someone, it doesn't make sense I hold on to negative things. Mm-hmm. So I need to think positively, and I need to find a way to navigate my words, so I won't say anything that's hurtful.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hurt your spouse. Yeah.
Right. Not intentionally.
Not intentionally. Yeah. And for those who are listening, if you do realize that you said something that's not nice, you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to apologize. Trust me, it's going to make your life so much easier. It's going to make your life much easier. Yeah.
Whether you think it was a big deal or not, it was to them. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Apologize for it. Mm-hmm. All right. So Maxine, do you have any advice for any couples who might be struggling with their communication, struggling to find, to get on the same page? Do you have any advice for them?
I mean, the easiest way to get on the same page is really to talk about it. You have to have that non-judgmental dialogue to get your points across, and let each other know what is bothering you. If you have tried that and it hasn't worked, the next step is really to speak with, if you have a pastor that you know you feel comfortable speaking with, or another couple. Sometimes you have that couple that you can go to that are gonna be supportive of both and not just on one side. You have to speak with persons who are non-biased and who are of faith and know that you're coming to them for help because you have exhausted the dialogue, the conversations with your spouse. And if you find that you cannot, you know, get forward or be able to move forward with your relationship, even after some solid advice, then I would recommend that you consider counseling. Counselors are out there, therapists are out there to help in a non-biased environment, situation, and you want to go with both. Both parties need to be in the room, and you need to be open to having that the dialogue and having the truth. You don't want to hold anything back when you're in therapy, and it needs to be a non-threatening environment where you don't feel like you're pointing fingers. And the therapist will work with you to let you know, okay, the tone that you need to approach it in. And you, Desiree, you've probably done a lot of therapy. I've done coaching, and you know, I'm doing my doctorates in marriage and family therapy, but I haven't done like a lot of therapy with couples. I've done the coaching part of it. It's two different things.
Yeah.
But you definitely want to hire someone who is licensed and deals with, you know, this kind of situation, this, with marriages and families. You don't want to just talk to anyone, but if you have a trusted party that you know another couple who's understanding and are can keep your business away from other persons, someone that you can trust and keep it confidential, then you can start there. But otherwise, if you're, you know, very, very private, you don't want people up in your business, mm-hmm. Like that, because you can't trust a couple, then just take it straight to therapy. You don't want to wait until it's so bad that you don't even want to seek therapy.
Right.
You know, so that would be the start. When you mentioned communication, that would be the start. But yeah, you need to have that full support of each other. So any little thing that's bothering you, my husband and I, we communicate a lot. And I think that's why we're in this situation where we're in now, you know, going on 26 years of marriage, because initially I was the one who's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm good. No, he was like, no, I want to talk about it. We need to talk about it, you know? And now I'm now open to having that conversation, because I know it's important to him, but it's also important for our marriage, for us to have that dialogue about the minuscule thing, because that's what's going to pop up. Many of those little things are going to pop up, and it's going to end up being a big deal later. So talk about it, so it won't get to the point where you feel like you need outside help. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that's my main advice, because if I was still that stubborn girl, stubborn Jamaican girl, who, you know, because my family didn't talk about things, so I thought that was the way to do life, but it's not. My husband is the patient one. He's the one who said, babe, we have to talk about it. We can't move on because it's bothering me. And when I realized that it's bothering him and it's going to bother our marriage, I am very open to having the conversation. Even if it's not at the same time, I'll just say, hey, baby, I'm going to need a few minutes. You know,
I got to calm down.
Yeah, because we're humans, you know, no one's perfect. And I can't say, oh, I know how to deal with this situation every time. No, depends on what the conversation was about. It's going to be a different approach, but you can give yourself some time so you won't say hurtful things, and you won't, you know, you'll watch your tone as well, because tone, how you approach a conversation can make a big difference. So give yourself some time, but don't ignore it. Talk about it.
That's so good. I love that you mentioned tone. That is delivery and tone. Oh, those two.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so good. And then last but not least, what would you advise for any singles who are wanting to get married and they're in that search of, you know, finding someone? They may be dating, or they may be just getting ready to start dating and trying to see what their options are. What would be your advice for them as they're pursuing somebody or pursuing that journey of getting into marriage?
Okay. So it's, as you can tell, it's been a very long time that I personally have dated, except dating my husband, but as a certified premarital coach, I'm going to say this, you know, if you're dating and you're noticing what we call red flags, and some of them I call purple flags, they're even stronger than red flags. Ooh. If you see them coming up, you need to watch out for them. Do not take them lightly, and have a conversation. This is like a free zone where you have all the opportunity to ask questions, and then you'll see and hear how they respond to you. And we talk about tone and attitude. You approach them now. This is your time to ask all the questions. And when you hear the answers, if it's something that you're like, wow, you know, I would not want this person to be the person I'm committed to long term. Does people change? Yeah, people change, but maybe not drastically as you may expect. So if it's something, as Desiree mentioned earlier, if it's something that you don't feel that you can deal with later on in life, long-term, on a daily basis, you definitely want to have that dialogue up front and that heart-to-heart with yourself if it's something that you feel like you cannot deal with long term, because that person may not change. So think about it. Think about the red flags, the purple flags, and then, you know, being able to, is this person your friend? My husband and I were friends before we got married. We had a long distance relationship, so we were not seeing each other in person. And whenever we saw each other, I think I saw him twice that first year. You know, he came down to North Carolina to see me from California, and we had a lot of conversation during that time. But whenever we were apart, we were actually investing in our AT&T phone bill. AT&T back then, we're investing. MCI. Who remembers MCI?
MCI.
That was long ago, right?
Yeah.
We were investing in those phone calls, my phone bill, you know, whenever it was time to have to talk, because that's the only way that we could communicate. There was no Skype, no video chat or whatever during that time. So if you are seeing each other and you live nearby, you'll be paying or someone will be paying for dates and all that stuff. So it's either that or you're going to do long distance like my husband and I did. And he actually offered to pay for my phone bill. Did I let him pay for it all the time? No, because I wanted to talk to him too. So we would split the phone bill. Yeah, we would split the phone bill. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really noble of him to offer to pay for my phone calls, because I could have been talking to so many other guys at the same time. You know what I mean? But he trusted me. And just the fact that he wanted to take on that responsibility because he wanted to keep talking to me, and he knows that it costs to talk. So think about the cost up front as well. Is this guy or our girl willing to collaborate and pay half of the bill, half of the dining bill? And we can go to another conversation like this, because I think my husband and I, we just had a dialogue about, for our YouTube channel, about roles, you know, gender roles. Traditions.
It was good. I watched that.
Thank
one. It was
you.
Good.
Thank you. So you got to just consider, is this something that I desire for the guy to pay for all of my meals? You know, is he going to, would he contribute to paying all of the bills at the house? I personally, and my husband as well, we don't believe in just one person paying the bills. If they want to, that's up to them. But we rely on each other. We feel that it's, the relationship is going to be stronger when we collaborate and we contribute to the expenses, because we're both living in the same household, just like doing the tasks at home, washing the dishes, doing the laundry, cleaning the house. It's not a Maxine thing. It's not a wife thing. It's a wife and husband thing. If I do the laundry, he takes it on himself to fold them, and I'll help him put it away, or he puts it away. But that's something that we do together. So think about the things that your significant other or the person that you're dating, and think about the things that they're doing now that may annoy you or may seem selfish. You want to have that conversation with them. And depending on their response, then you'll know, okay, do I want to move forward in dating this guy or girl? And do I want to have them, you know, dictate what may happen in the future? Because they're telling you now, this is how they are. And you may not be able to change them. So don't take it lightly. Those are signs that you, if you have doubts or you want to have a conversation, you should have it. This is your freebie to ask all the questions before you get married. Don't hold it in, or, you know, prevent the conversation from happening, because if it doesn't happen now, you're not going to be able to have it and make changes later. This is it. This is your time. Let me see if I can think of anything else. Having the dialogue is going to be your path and your door to communication. And if you don't feel like you can have it now, then you may not be able to have it after you get married. And communication is going to be, my husband and I, our last name is Reyes. In Spanish, it means kings. So we say communication is king, okay? Because it's going to rain. It's going to rain on your relationship. That's what's going to rule your relationship, is having that dialogue with each other. So think about that.
Awesome. I think also with the communication and expectations that you mentioned earlier on, to, you know, ask each other, what are your expectations when we get married? What do you see a husband's role is? What do you see a wife's role is? And so if it's more like we're 50-50, then you know what you're getting into. If it's more like, well, I want to take more responsibility and I want you to stay home or be the homemaker, or, you know, you could be the dad, you know, the stay-at-home dad. Like, those types of conversations are important, because dating and then marriage is like two completely different worlds.
Yes.
And I think people often expect, well, this is how it is while we're dating. While we get married, it's just going to continue on the same, but not realizing that you have some some expectations that you may not even realize that you have about once we get married, this is what a husband and this is what a wife does. So definitely have those conversations ahead of time.
Excellent.
So you know, so you don't have unrealistic expectations of the other or of yourself too.
And these are excellent.
On the same page.
Yes, excellent points, Desiree. Excellent points when it comes to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And ladies, if you're listening, we have, you know, some ladies on online. Just know that it's okay to be that supportive partner to the person that whether you're dating or you're already married. It's okay to contribute financially without depending on your spouse for on the man for everything, you know. Don't be that person. And I'm saying this because my husband and I have been watching some YouTube videos or social media, TikTok videos, and there are women out there saying, if he can't pay for all of the bills and pay for this or whatever, that means we're just roommates. Like, where do you get this kind of philosophy from? You know, you're not just roommates if you're helping each other out. I have 6 brothers. And I am praying that the ladies that they take on, you know, to become their significant other, their spouses, that these women are considerate like myself, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're working, because I know a lot of women are working from home now, or you know, having their own business or whatever. It's a partnership. Just always think of it as a partnership. It you know, they say marriage is like a business. I'm going to say it's okay to think of it as you contributing to your part of the business, to your role in the business. You know, it's an entrepreneurship journey. And you're both leading it. Of course, you know, as Christians, we are putting the man in his leadership role, but you're here as his supporter. You know, you're his VP, his vice president. So just know that it's so important, and it's beneficial for you to invest as equally as your spouse. So, you know, be that woman who that husband is going to look up to and say, you know what, that's my ride or die.
Yeah.
You know, because she trusts me, she believes in me, she supports me, and she's here as my partner. It's not I take everything, you know. You want to give as well. So
yeah, finding ways that you can contribute to each other. And I'll just stick in this point because I am a homemaker, so I'm not working full time, and my business is still up and coming, so I
but you're contributing.
I'm not able to contribute financially. So I don't want people to get stuck on that part. Remember that there's more than one way to contribute. You can contribute, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. There are so many ways to contribute, and I think a lot of women do get stuck on that, like, it's just finances, and they have, like,
no,
you contribute and he contribute. It has to be like coming and going, like water just flowing back and forth. You want to make sure that you both, this is beneficial, that you're both getting, this is mutually beneficial.
Yes,
you want to have a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yes, and that's why I mentioned earlier, Desiree, that's exactly why I mentioned, you know, some women are homemakers. So this wasn't directing towards the women who are homemakers or the men, because there are men who are homemakers now and women are going out to work. So it's just, if both are working and both are, you know, both should contribute with what they're expecting. You have the expectation management of each other, but don't feel like the man has to be the only one to support financially if you're both making, you know, a good income with each other. Or even if it's one is doing more than the other, have that expectation and have that agreement as to who's going to take care of what. It should not always be the man, because that's just, you know, the way it has been for centuries. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say, because I know I'm hoping to be a homemaker in the near future. You know, but I absolutely understand there are different situations, but it should always be support no matter what.
Yeah. What works for both of you.
Right.
At the end of the day, whatever makes sense for your family, for your lifestyle, do the best to like contribute to that.
Yes.
So that can continue.
Always have that emotional support. Always. That's something that we all need, no matter how much income is coming in on either side. We always want to support each other emotionally, spiritually as well.
Yeah. I got your back, babe. I got your back.
Yep, that's it. Trust me. That's it.
That so the wheels it. Fall off. I got your back.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to share a quick story. When my husband and I, we were in the Air Force, and we got out of active duty and went to the reserve for a little bit. And we moved from California to Miami, and he started working at a security company. So he was a security guard. He took that on outside of the Air Force. He had a degree, but when we moved to Miami, there were no jobs. And so, you know, that pays like California did, and it would take a longer time. So he took on a security job, and I believe the pay was like $5 or something an hour. And I'm like, man, $5 an hour. But you know what? I didn't have a job at that time. And so when he was doing his security gig, I would roll up with him. We had a vehicle, thank goodness. And I would drive and I would sit in the car and keep his company and talk to him while he was at his post. Can you imagine? That. And he and I talk about it sometimes. We're like, can you believe we went through all of that? And the reason why he took on that $5 an hour job, even though he was qualified for way more, but we wanted something to help to pay our bills. We did not want to go into our savings because we had just sold our house in California, but we've never bought a home in Florida. And we wanted to use that money for a down payment. So in order for us not to go into what we had in the bank, he took on that job as a security guard. And he said, babe, I'm like embarrassed a little bit, but I want to make sure that as the man, I don't dip into our savings. I need to, you know, contribute, but that's a choice that he made. But you know what I did to support him? I showed up and kept his company. Yeah. So that's a way of emotional support, you know?
Like we're definitely in this together.
Yeah.
For a common goal.
For a common goal. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Maxine, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. I hope everybody listening has been able to pick up at least one gem they can take with them. I know there are many dropped, but if anyone wants to, you know, reach out to you and get in contact with you, what are the best ways to do so?
The best way to do so is just go on our website, happilyjoined.com. And send an email, or if you have a pen right now or your phone, you can just write down happilyjoined@gmail.com. So that's happilyjoined@gmail.com. And please follow us on social media @happilyjoined. That's Instagram, Facebook. We started a TikTok. I hope to keep that up. But our YouTube channel, please subscribe to Happily Joined. You'll be getting some videos and some gems dropping in the near future. We just did a video that's already on there, and we're going to just keep adding to it every 2 weeks or every month, as often as we can.
Great.
And thank you so much.
I will have all of that information in the description. So if you missed it all, you can go into the description and it will all be there. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode. Until next time, stay well and be blessed. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, one more thing before you go. If you found any value to this episode, please don't just keep it to yourself, girl. Spread the word. You never know who needs it too. So what you can do is screenshot this episode and post it to social media. Don't forget to tag me at Desiree Ofori. You can share the link with someone special or give us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple iTunes. Like I said, you just never know who else needs this. So thanks so much for your support. And until next time, be blessed.